and all the time. As we start to worship this morning, Ephesians 2:7, so that in the ages to come he might show the boundless riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And in Romans, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. And what more can we say praise the Lord for, right? I invite you to stand this morning. We're going to sing Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. Looking only at Jesus, the originator and perfecter of the faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, though that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We're going to sing, Turn Your Eyes. No better place to look this morning. Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Jesus, we turn our eyes to you.
Bible said.
Thank you. You have reading his word that all of the sudden is this epiphany. Yeah, that was this past week, you know, for me and a lot of things when it came down as to reading God's Word, but particularly because of where we are right now. Now, I'm glad you're here today, and I'm glad you're able to hear this. If you're with our online audience, thank you for joining us today. Be sure to say hello to Dr. Cazito, who is following along there with you. And as always, if you have any questions, you can certainly pose those for our staff, and we will answer those or get back to you. But, you know, this past week, as I hit this verse, and it wasn't even a whole verse. It was a phrase or a part of the verse that just in a, I was just casually reading along, and then this one was like getting hit by a Mack truck. How many of y'all have ever had those moments? You're reading along, and then all of a sudden, here is this. It's not anything new. Sometimes, you know, sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. For me, this was not something that was new. But it was something that was very poignant at this particular time in our society, at this particular time in my life, and I believe at this particular time in many people's lives. And let's just go ahead and read the verse. Look with me, if you would, Proverbs chapter 23. And we're going to look at verse 7. Proverbs chapter, that's the only verse we're going to deal with today. You know, so everybody's going, hey, we might get out of here early. Don't get your hopes up, but we'll try. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says this, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you." Let's pray. Father, as we come to you today, we just ask that in these moments and these times, that we will truly do what we have just confessed to you in our worship and song, that we will turn our eyes upon you, and we will truly look full in your wonderful face. Today, Father, you have a message for us. You want our attention. Help us to give that to you. Father, help us as we worship and as we gather around your word today for it to be special. That's what you want. Lord, that's what you desire. Help us today for these moments, Lord, just for at least a few moments, to turn our eyes upon you, to hear from your word, to be taught. And Lord, we'll bless you as you bless us. Lord, be with this, your speaker, for these moments. Help us, Father, to lift you up truly, that you might draw all men unto you. Help us to hear you today in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I remember I said a moment ago, it's not always the whole verse. It's not always the whole verse, but there's a part of a verse. And this week, as I was reading, the part that got me in this verse was the very first part of verse 7, which is a short verse anyway, that says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so he is." My question today is, how and what are we thinking within our hearts? What is our attitude? Now, how many of us have ever gone through life and had somebody tell us, "You have a bad attitude"? None. I'm the only, okay, we got a few when I look out towards the congregation. That our attitude is just not right. And there are times, all of us have been there, regardless. I mean, I ask that question, you know, rhetorically, I guess, because all of us have been there. We've all been in that situation. We have all been in that position where we have had a pretty bad attitude. And what we've done is we have allowed that to change who we are. And here's a good example. Sometimes you get up and you're like, "Hey, man, it's a great day." I like what has been said by you know, some in our church. It's like, you know, I believe it might even have been Ernie that says, "You know what? Well, how you doing?" "Well, I got up. Yeah, I got up, or I woke up and I got up." Isn't that it? "I woke up and I got up." Well, that's a blessing, isn't it? And then what happens is, as we wake up and we get up, then we have those moments of deterioration. It was a good day. The coffee was right. The breakfast was good. You go out and the car won't start. And then the tire's flat. Then there's a traffic jam. Then you're late for work. Then the boss is on your back. And you don't sit down going, thanks be to God for this wonderful job that I have and the wonderful people around me. That's usually not our frame of mind, is it? Our attitude begins to change because of the things that are taking place and the things that are going on in our life. Now, most of us have heard that serenity prayer, and I always quote it wrong, so bear with me for a moment, but we know how that goes. Yeah, it talks about essentially, Lord, give us the thought to be able to change the things in life that we can, but also the serenity to be able to endure the things that we cannot. And it goes on to say, and the wisdom to know the difference between those two. Our attitude means a lot. And let me tell you why. Here's one of the big things I want you to get today as I relate that back. Remember, for as he thinketh within himself, so he is. Attitude is something that you and I choose. We choose to make it a good day. There's been times in my life where I didn't say, have a good day. I've said, make it a good day. And the reason why is because that is up to us. And when I say it's up to us, it is based on our perspective. And most of the time, our perspective dictates our attitude, how we feel about something. Now, you've been hearing me say this for quite some time now, but we have had nasty attitudes for the past year and a half. We are short with people. And listen, this is something that we have to contend with every moment of every day. You can choose your attitude. Now, when you get out of here in a little bit and you go eat lunch, let me make you a promise. If you're going out to eat, probably the place that you're going to go is short-staffed. But there are people there who showed up today to wait on you to serve you lunch. We need to be thankful, number one, for that. And what happens is when we have to wait longer than we are grumpy. And that doesn't get any better because a lot of us get hangry. You know what that means? We get angry because we're hungry. And then we sit back like, well, why is it taking them so long to get my drink order? Where are my chips and salsa? Where's this and where's that? And the day just starts to deteriorate, and we start to get ugly with each other, and we get ugly with everybody. Folks, attitude is something we choose. So within your heart, what are you thinking in your heart? Because the word, that now you see why that one's jumping off the page at me? How many of y'all will say, I've had a bad attitude lately? How many of you don't want to answer that question? Okay? All of us find ourselves in those predicaments. I have. And it's been those little erosion deals. Man, I've walked around and my blood pressure has been up lately. I'm telling you. Because Murphy's Law has been the law of the land, particularly lately. If it can go wrong, it will. If it can go wrong, it will go wrong, and it will happen at the worst possible time and the worst possible moment. Always. And we've had to bear with those things, even as a church, as we've gone forward. Because if it can go wrong, it's gone wrong. Now, how is our attitude toward that? Do we look at it and say, no, I mean, granted, we're not going to be skipping around whistling tunes going, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. That's not the way we, but we've got to make sure that the circumstances, y'all heard that word a few times, haven't you? The circumstances of our lives do not dictate our attitude, because we can get a nasty, nasty attitude and we can do some things that do not please the Father. When we think about attitude, I believe it was a definition by John Maxwell that he defined it this way. An attitude is an inward feeling expressed by an outward action. An inward feeling expressed by an outward action. Sometimes we're not real good at hiding our feelings, are we? Particularly when they're not good ones. And we'll snap, we'll go off, and some of you, I love it, some of you are a lot like me. You can't hide things anyway, because even though your mouth may not open, your looks tell everything. Yeah, by the way, in case you didn't realize it, body language is more than 50% of communication. You know, when somebody's telling you something, you're going, and you're doing that, they already know what's cooking in your heart. But what is it that we are expressing? Folks, our attitude can either point people to Jesus or point them away from Him. And we've had bad attitudes lately. Society in general has had bad attitudes. So why is attitude important? I think you're starting to understand it. Remember, for as he thinketh within himself, so he is. Remember the definition. An attitude is an inward feeling expressed by an outward action. So why is it important for us to have a good, wholesome, Christian, biblical attitude? Well, first of all, our attitude determines our approach to life. Did you realize that? Whether you think it or not, our attitude does exactly that. It determines our approach to life. Yeah, you know, it's kind of like that situation where you've been along the way, and there's been one thing that has just completely changed your motion for the day. Yeah, like I said, I like Andy Griffith. That could be either positive or negative. Y'all remember the guy, and I know everybody in here's probably watched Andy Griffith a time or two in your life, but you remember the guy coming through that had to get his car fixed? It was on Sunday. It was going to take a while, and he was always just go, go, go up. And finally, Andy got him calmed down on the porch while he was singing this little song, and then Gomer came up there and got him all wrapped up again and got him pacing and going back and forth. And Andy even said, he said, "Now Gomer's got you all keyed up again." And of course, all of a sudden, from going from a nice, kind, cool, collective guy to snapping at people once again, it can set the tone for your day. It can set the tone for everything. It's kind of like a place. I mean, I don't know. I've been driving down the road before, and my grandmother lived in Covington, Virginia. And I don't know if you've ever been to that place or not, but it was known for at least a few things. And for me, one of the things it was known for was its paper mill. How many of y'all ever been around a paper mill? Don't that smell like roses? And I can always remember, it would, like, even if I was asleep in the car going there, I'd wake up, and I could tell you where I was, because, whew! I mean, literally, I'm in the back seat going, because it was just that bad. And that would put me in a generally poor disposition, because everywhere you went, that's what it smelled like. If you walked in the house, that's what it smelled like. It didn't matter where you went, this putrid paper mill smell, and it put me in a bad mood. I thought, when I leave, I'm going to smell like this. When I go back to a normal place, people are going to walk past me and go, "Where's he been?" I thought, that's got to permeate your clothes and everything. It sets a general bad disposition. And you know what? Here was the weird part. For some odd reason, for a while after that, I couldn't get that smell out of my nose. You ever had that before? That maybe not a paper mill, but just something. And you're like, I don't know why, but I keep on smelling that. I just can't get it. And attitude is like that. It will set the tone for your day. And if it stinks, it'll make your attitude stink. And if your attitude stinks, then it's going to create a lot of other issues along the way. So attitude can determine our approach to life. How's your approach to life at this point? When you walked in this morning, I want you to be honest with you. I'm not asking for a show of hands, but to be honest with you, when you walked in this morning, did you do so with a critical spirit towards anything? Towards your work, towards your family, towards the church, toward the service? Did you walk in today to truly sit back and say, you know what, regardless of what's going on, I'm going to leave that behind for a few moments, and I'm going to turn my eyes upon Jesus. And I'm going to let the Lord speak to me today. Let me tell you why I asked that question. Because Satan will continue to put things in your path that are designed to help you determine a bad attitude for the day. I promise it's happened to everyone. When you came in today, it happens to me. I have to check it. You probably came in today, well, I don't like that. I don't like the way that's set up. I don't like the way that's going. I don't like what he's wearing. I don't like what she's wearing. I wish they would do this. Listen, what is it that God is wanting to say to you as opposed to the devil? It seems like we can hear him loud and clear. Why is it that we're not hearing the Lord as loudly and clearly? See, last time I checked, God's people are to love one another, to rejoice with one another, to bear with one another, not fake it. Listen, you can't fake stuff like that. Eventually, people are going to know. God doesn't call us to fake it, does it? He don't say fake it till you make it. He says, I want you to have my heart, and God's not faking anybody out. What are you thinking? Why is that important? Because for as he thinketh within himself, so he is. Our attitude determines our approach in life. Our attitude also determines our relationship with people. We all know the golden rule, don't we? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, right? Do we always do that? No. Sometimes we've changed that around to do unto others before they can do unto you. Don't we? I mean, really? And when we think about, listen, that's not just our actions and our activities. That's also our comments, what we say and how we act and how we do. Would we want someone to treat us the way we are treating them? Ooh, that one stings a little, doesn't it? Sometimes that one's got a little ouch to it, because when we look at it, we don't. Remember, a moment ago I said, in a little while you'll probably go out and get some lunch and there'll be a server there that's working really, really hard to try to take care of you. And you're going to get grouchy. I didn't want this. This is not what I ordered. Rah. Now listen, I'm not sitting back there saying that you eat it if it's something you're allergic to or whatever. But you can do it in a nice way. You can say, you know, one thing, you know, this is a little bit wrong. I know you're working hard. I know that you are out there doing the best job that you can, and this is not your fault because you don't prepare the food, but they made this wrong. Is there any way I could get you to fix this for me? You know what? Your tea glass will probably stay more full. Your chip basket will probably be overflowing because you're treating them like an individual. You're treating them in a kind way, which most people aren't these days. So your attitude also determines your relationships that you have with people. I know this is a tough one to answer, but how many of you are there people in your life that you don't look forward to seeing? Come on now. Come on. There are some people in your life, I've said this before, that make you think of things that don't please Jesus. You prefer not to see them. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you have people in your life that when you see them coming, a smile comes across your face? You cannot wait to see those people. I mean, honestly, you don't just look. When you see them, you just start to grin like a mule eating briars. And you know why? Because they mean something to your life. They have encouraged you along the way. They are a joy to be around. When somebody sees you coming, everybody buckle up now, get them pew belts going. When people see you coming, do they look and go, or do they smile and say, I can't wait to see that person? Ouch. That's telling, isn't it? When you see, hey, listen, I know, we're all humans. I know you. I am you. You've seen them down the street and you're like, quick, cross here so we don't have to run into each other. Duck in this store real quick, and then you're sitting there hiding behind the mannequin going, are they by yet? I just don't want to deal with them today. Don't be that person. Be the person that people are attracted to like a magnet to steel. Be that person that no matter what is taking place, and by the way, that doesn't mean that you're always going to agree with everything everybody says or does. We don't. That's what makes us different people. But let me tell you what should make us a separate people, a God's people, is that even when we don't agree, we can still love each other. When we can still come together and laugh with one another and cry with one another and support one another, that makes all the difference in the world. You know, there are people in this room I know that I can disagree with, and the fur can fly, and boy, I'll tell you one thing, when that gets done, it's like, okay, are we tired yet? Let's go get coffee. Let's talk. Attitude determines your relationships as well as your activities and actions for the day. What else does attitude do? Our attitude can many times be the only difference between success and failure. How many times has our attitude caused us to fail? It's put us in a situation where we have had a one-track mind. There are things, I've said this before, where have you ever had something that you just couldn't solve and you had to walk away from it? You know, you're like, I got to put this down for a minute. I got to go breathe. I got to go step outside. I got to get my mind in a better place. I can tell you this, and I love it. I am a fan of the DMV in Kernersville. Now, some of y'all just said, I'm a fan. You want me to tell you why I'm a fan? Because there is a guy down there who, you know, back during this COVID crisis and everything else, I had some questions I needed to ask. If you try on the telephone, I honestly think somebody counts the number of calls on hold and just laughs the whole day. They don't answer them. You can't get any questions. So I thought, well, I'll go by and see if I can ask a question. The door was locked. You couldn't get by there. Everybody that had just looked like a real poor disposition. I thought, this is not going to go over well. And so I went to the door, and the door's locked. I sat in the car, and then I saw the FedEx guy drive up. I said, somebody's coming to the door. So I wait, and I meticulously timed out the fact that the FedEx guy was so far, and I hopped out of the car, and I followed him up there. As he knocked on the door, a lady came and opened the door and took the package and then looked at me like I had three heads and said, can I help you? I said, I just have a question to ask. At which point I asked my question, and then she looked at me like I had four heads. But I heard a voice behind her saying, well, go ahead and answer his question. You've been here two whole days. See, the reason she didn't answer my question is she didn't know what it was. She didn't know how to answer it. So the guy says, come on in. And I'm like, so I walked in, and he walks over, and he's doing something, and he goes, go over and sit down at computer terminal number two. And I was like, I just have a question. He said, I heard your question, and now you're going to take the test. I said, but I hadn't studied for the test. He said, sit down and give it a try. Well, obviously, I didn't do so well. Missed it by one question. So when I got up, I walked back over there, and I said, man, I said, I wasn't expecting that. I really appreciate that. Can I get some study material or something? He goes, no, just look at it online. Go online, take a few of them practice tests, and you come back here tomorrow and take this test. I said, oh, do I need an appointment? You come back here tomorrow and you take this test. Now, how many of y'all have had that experience down at the DMV? Anywhere, much less up here. I told him, I said, look, let me just say something. I said, I want to thank you for being so kind today. And he said, well, he said, the guy before you was, and I won't go into the description of what he said, but he said, that guy right there got me in a real poor frame of mind. He said, my heart was not in the right place. My head was not in the right place. And he said, but I knew a way to fix it. And he said, I told myself, the next person that walks up to that door, I'm going to do something kind for. And I went, thank you, Lord. I was that person. And I said, listen, I really, really appreciate that. I said, you've made a difference in my day. And I said, I want to thank you. I said, is your mind in a better place now? He said, it sure enough is. He said, I'll see you tomorrow. So when I went back the next day, guess what I had? I went by Cinnabon, and I got me a big old box of cinnamon buns for all the people down at the DMV. I didn't give them to all the people at the DMV, but I gave them to him. I said, now, it's up to you whether you share or not, but here you go. Attitude makes a difference. And folks, when we get to the point where our attitude is bad, and we know when it is, when our blood pressure starts going up, when we are about ready to just scream, understand that what you're thinking within you becomes who you are. That's biblical. That's not the gospel according to Roy. That's what other people are going to see. And if the lost and dying world is going to see the Jesus that we know and love, then we're going to have to emulate him even when we don't want to. Attitude affects so many things about us. But attitude can also give us a positive perspective. As I thought about that, I thought about two contrasting attitudes in a Bible story. Most of us know the story of David and Goliath, right? We know that story. The story of David and Goliath. Israel's army was standing there, and if you look at it, Israel's army's going, man, that guy's too big, we can't beat him. That was their attitude. Then you had little teenage David, whose attitude was, yeah, he's so big, I can't miss. Do you get the difference? Do you understand the difference in that attitude? Oh, that guy's so big, he'll wipe us out. Little David's going, he's so big, I can't miss. That's like hitting the broad side of a barn. Even I could hit that. What is your attitude, perspective in life, in church, in your work, in your family? Because let me make you a promise. It makes a difference. Oh, by the way, this is not something that you do once and it's a done deal. This is something that you have to do multiple times a day. Amen? Like I said, some days you start off really good and then they erode. You got to check your attitude. Some days start off bad and get really good. Check your attitude. I've said this so many times. Who we are in Christ shouldn't ebb and flow based on our ever-changing circumstances. We have lost the joy of the Lord. And last time I checked, the Word tells us the joy of the Lord is our strength. Are we joying in the Lord as we should? Now you understand why I was fed through the meat grinder this past week, and I couldn't even get past that verse. For as he thinketh within himself, so he is. Check yourself. I had to check myself. I didn't like what I saw. Because it didn't line up right. Now, here's the thing. I have to check myself multiple times a day, every day now. Every circumstance that comes up, sometimes you got to go, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus act? How would he react? Now, I've confessed before, and I continue to confess. That really happens with me driving. Oh, the other day, I thought of things that didn't please him. When somebody just blatantly just merged on over into my lane. Do you think I went up beside him and went, thank you? No. The horn was sounding, baby. Then I sounded like Yosemite Sam. Confound a low, good, low, down, double, dirty, double, crossing, blocking you. Follow me to church. I mean, think about it for a minute. What is our attitude telling other people about our Jesus and our relationship with Him? It can give us a positive perspective. Think about it for a moment. You know, I've thought so many times about, you know, that you can take it and make it positive. Are you a glass half empty or a glass half full kind of person? I'm a glasses half full kind of person. But you know what? I get a bunch of people in my life that glass ain't half empty. It's been dumped out, dried out, put up on a shelf. Don't be that person. Our attitude, it's not automatically good just because we're Christians. In fact, that's quite a challenge, isn't it? We have to make a choice. We make a lot of choices every day. But we can choose to make it a good day. We can choose to reflect Jesus. We can choose to follow that verse that says, for as he thinketh, are we thinking the right things? Because what we're thinking within ourselves is who we are. So if that's the case, then many of us would look at people and say, ooh, that person's not somebody I'd want to be around. That person's not somebody I would want to be with. There are list upon list upon list of reasons why we should have a good attitude. And I mean, they go all the way down. I found some of them and listed them. I'm not going to list them for you here because I might even try to get you out of here a little early. But they just keep on going. Things like you bounce back from setbacks easier. You enjoy your work more. Your blood pressure is lower. You live longer. I mean, there's health benefits to this. How many of you all really just, when you get wound up tight, you get exhausted mentally? And I mean, literally, you can feel it in your chest. You can feel it in your stomach. You are just tired. You're just like, and particularly if you go on that tirade, when it's done, you're like, phew. It's like a decompression. That's not healthy. That's not healthy at all. So there's plenty of positive biblical attitudes that we can have. I'm going to give you a couple of them as we close out today. One of those is you can have the mountaintop attitude. If you remember over into the book of Joshua in chapter 14, Caleb told Joshua, remember you've heard sermons on it before, he said to him, give me this mountain. He didn't take the easy flat land where the streams were and where it would be easy to keep the livestock. No, he said, give me this mountain. And by the way, if you go back and read that, he was in his 80s when he said that. You would think that the 80-year-old would say, well, I've done my time. Give me a little bit of flat land. Let me plow here. Let me plant here. No, 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 no. You know what he said? He said, I'm 80-some years old. Give me this mountain. Give me the challenge to go forward with. Why? And they said, well, you know, by the way, there's giants up there. He's like, I ain't worried about them giants. I got a God that's bigger than all of them. Listen, is God bigger than the giants in your life? Then why don't we start acting like it? He was like, I got this. Ain't no problem. Oh, dude, you don't understand. There's big giants out there. Yeah, but my God's bigger, and God told me I could have it, so they better step aside. Now, he didn't say that they wouldn't have to go take those things, did he? See, too many of us think that just because God said it, that means he's just going to make the enemy lay down in front of us, and that's not the case. Sometimes he's seeing if we've got enough courage and we've got enough faith in him to follow him into the battle. God never promised he would make all of our problems go away, but what he did promise is that he would be with us through them. Sometimes he has us walk those valleys. Sometimes he has us on the mountaintop where it's really good. And sometimes he has us in the valley below. But all the time he's with us and all the time he is teaching us something. So a positive attitude is a mountain attitude. Lord, I know it looks tough, but give me the mountain and show me your stuff. That rhymed, didn't it? I have to write that one down. Another is to have a can-do attitude. You know, how many of you all have people in your life that are like a wet blanket? They are negative about everything. You can come up with something. Well, this is what we ought to do. Well, we can't do that because of this. Or well, I tell you what, why don't we all get together and go over to this place? Well, that place is just not a good place. It doesn't have a really good rating. And they're that way about everything. How many of y'all got a few of them in your life? I mean, you are like, when you're excited about something, that is not the person you go talk to, is it? No, because you want someone to rejoice with you. Yeah, I shared it, and it was told as a joke about a fella who was always praising the Lord. It was a contrast between two men in the church, and one who was always praising the Lord and always thanking Him for something. And then there was another one who was the skeptic with the bad attitude. And both of these men were leaders in the church, and he went to one guy, the positive guy, and he said, well, I guarantee you there's nothing that you're going to be able to pray for and thank the Lord for today, because everything in your life has gone down the drain. There is nothing good. And when the man got called on to pray, he stood up and he said, Lord, he said, and he was trying to find something to praise the Lord for. He said, Lord, I want to thank you that everything is in your control. And oh, by the way, Lord, I want to thank you that I'm not like him with a bad attitude. I want to thank you that I'm not like that guy. Lord, thank you for filling me with joy. Because when we walk with the Lord, that is the earmark. It is the joy of the Lord. We need to have a can-do attitude. That was Paul's mantra. Hey, we got this. We can do it. No problem. Yeah, even when it was earthly impossible, God made a way, didn't He? And by the way, that's when He shines the best. Yeah. Another good attitude is a servant attitude that was modeled to us by Jesus. Love the servant heart of the Master. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. Because remember, his deal was he was pointing everybody to the Father. That's a different message for a different day. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But nonetheless, his deal, he said, if you really want to be the lead dog, then start serving other people. If you really want to show me something, show me you serving other people. And a lot of times, having it being done outside of your comfort zone. Are we serving other people? Or is it about the me mentality? Now, I've said this before. The new generation of church kind of scares me. Because it's all about, what can you do for me? Last time I checked, as we come together, we are the body of Christ. And we are here to grow in grace and grow in strength and to edify one another. To cheer one another on. Because when we walk through that door, when we leave here in a few minutes, we are entering the mission field. We are entering a place where we are outnumbered at this particular juncture. Right? That is really what it is all about. So it's not all about what you can get from the church. What can you contribute to the church? In your skills and your talents and your abilities. Listen, you are here for a reason. God brought you here and you are important. Do you understand me? Everybody say that with me. I am important. Say it again. I am important. Okay, now if you're not doing your job, something is going undone. Plain and simple. We need to serve people. If we could get past, you know what I think the biggest problem with church in America today is? We can't get past ourselves. I really believe that. If we would come together to say, our goal and mantra is to win people to Jesus and disciple them, I think you would see the world change. How do I know that? 12 men did that. And we're 2,000 years later, we're still talking about that. Can we stop worrying about things that aren't going to amount to a hill of beans that are all going to pass away and become what Jesus wants us to become? With the right attitude, a servant's heart. And finally, we need to have a take a risk attitude. We don't like risk, do we? Yeah, well, sometimes we'll take a risk as long as it's not critical. I'm talking about taking a risk. Peter took a risk when he got out of the boat. Remember, they were all already worried about the fact that that they were going to die. Remember? They're out here and the ship's being tossed around and they're like, yeah, we're all going to die out here. Peter's like, hey, Lord, is that you? Yeah, if that's you, let me come out to where you are. Peter is going to get out of the boat in the middle of a storm that they thought they were going to die in. Jesus says, come on. And we know the story. Peter got out of the boat. Peter walked over there. Now, the ironic part is the 11 other boat potatoes that sat back in the boat that didn't get out of the boat but preferred to stay there where they were more worried about it before. Have you ever thought about the irony in that? Lord, save me, but don't let me leave. Don't make me leave here. I'm comfortable here. Lord, help me, but let me take my chair with me. Lord, help me out here. We're going to die here, but I'm familiar with the sights. It's okay. Why is it that we're that way? The 11 other disciples stayed dry and in the comfort and the security of that particular boat that they thought only a few minutes earlier was about to sink. Amazing, isn't it? Oh, we're going to die out here. I ain't getting out of this boat. All of a sudden, it became their security. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Why do we hold so tight? It's time for God's people to take a risk. Peter took a risk, and God came through for him. And let me tell you something else. When we take a risk, God will come through for us. We serve the same God. He hadn't changed. And you know what really helps us to keep our attitude right? Are you ready for this? You ready? Here it is. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Because when you're looking at Him, you don't see the storm. When you are looking at Him, it doesn't matter about the storm. When you are looking to Him, your attitude stays in the proper place. The question is, are we looking upon Jesus? Because for as he thinketh in his heart, so he is. Where is your heart this morning? Sometimes those are really messages to preach. And why are they hard to preach? Because usually what you're hearing is what I've been whipped with. Do I have the best attitude all the time? No. Do I have good restraint? Oh, yeah. Do I go out in the woods and have a talk with Jesus? Yes. Do I whip my blood pressure up and into a frenzy sometimes? Yes. I'm no different than you. But then Jesus says, are you done? You finished? That's cool. I'm glad you brought that to me. You're not right, but I'm glad you brought that to me. What do you mean I'm not right, Jesus? Yes, I am. I didn't deserve to be treated this way. I don't deserve to be going down this road. I'm mad. God says, well, then you need a couple more laps in the woods. Maybe you just need to stay there until you can get yourself right with Him. And you know what the problem is? The problem is some of us look like Captain Caveman because we've had to stay in the woods so long because we can't get the picture. Today, this morning, will you turn your eyes upon Jesus? I'm going to ask Lynn, if she would, to come up and take her place as we have our time of invitation. And here's the thing. It's not about any. Listen, I want you to put aside everything that's going on today. And I want you to concentrate on what it is that the Lord has put on your heart. Now, why do I say that? Because that's what it's about. It's not about lunch. This is not your last meal that you know of. Restaurants are going to be there. This is an important time right now. And it is so important right now that whatever the Lord is putting in your heart and mind, you deal with. Whether it's to straighten up an attitude. Folks, listen, we're all guilty. We just can't continue to sit back and say, well, that's who I am. No. It's time to confess that before the Father. Listen, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you had that time and moment in life when you have given your heart to Him? It scares me today that there are so many people that are going through life that they think salvation is about the fact that, well, I do good to people and I attend church and I give and I do all these things. And folks, that is not salvation. Salvation comes with a personal relationship with a holy God through Jesus Christ. You can begin that today. If you're here, I'm going to ask that you let me lead you in that. In just a moment, as Lynn plays, if you would just come and say, preacher, listen, I there's some things I got to get right with the Lord. I don't know Him, and I need to start that relationship with Him. Listen, if you're viewing online today, simply bow your head where you are and just confess, Lord, I understand. Your Holy Spirit is convicting my heart. And today, Lord, I give my life to You. Forgive my sin. Save my soul. And He'll do that. If you just did that, listen, if you're part of our online audience, please let us know. We want to follow up with you. We want to celebrate with you. We want to put some material in your hands to help you along the way. If you're here in just a moment, I want to be able to pray with you and rejoice with you. We as a body will rejoice in the saving of that soul. Maybe you're here today and you haven't followed in believer's baptism. Listen, we got one coming up on the 12th. Now, oftentimes people have asked me, they said, well, you know what, preacher? I did the thing when I was little, and I was baptized, but I really didn't come to know the Lord and get saved until later on. Does my baptism before count? Quick answer, no, it does not. What you got before was wet. This time, it's a personal testimony. This time, it's a personal testimony. Is the Lord convicting your heart to make sure that that's taken care of? The 12th is coming. All you got to do is let me know. Maybe you need to respond to that today and say, preacher, you need to put me on the list for the 12th. Maybe God has called you to serve at Central Baptist Church. Folks, we're beat up coming out of the pandemic. We're crippling along, but guess what? We're still going forward by His grace. We're going to pick up the pieces and we're going to walk forward. This is an opportunity. Will we seize that opportunity? What does God put on your heart? I'm just going to simply ask if you stand right where you are as we take our invitation time, as you participate in that. For those of you who know the Lord, pray for those around you as Lynn leads us.
Just as
are closed, I'm simply asking you this. Can you come to Jesus? He's saying, just as you are, you don't have to straighten nothing up, you don't have to clean nothing up. He's saying, right now, in this moment, will you come to me? Will you do that? Don't delay. Don't let this moment close on you. You respond to the Father's calling in your life.
Just as I am. Spot all lamb of God.
Amen. God is good. And all the time. As you're standing, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front as we receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. He has blessed us in many, many ways. I want to thank each and every one of the members of Central and those that even aren't members for your diligence when it comes down to following our Lord and Savior and being faithful to the tithe and to the offering. Let us ask the blessing upon on our offering right now. Father, as we come to You, we're thankful for the provision. Lord, You have blessed us and in so many ways. You have done just incredible, incredible things. Right now, I pray that You will help us as we take the time to give back to You that portion that You have so richly blessed us with, that Your work may continue to go forward. But Father, not only that, that You might bless us for our faithfulness in giving to You. And Lord, we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. To baptism. Also, September the 12th, and that's only a couple weeks away, is our church picnic. It'll be at Triad Park, shelter number one. There is a sign-up sheet out in the narthex that you can sign up so that we'll know how many folks to plan for in that regard. And then don't forget tonight, adult Bible study with David Miller right here in the sanctuary. I will have youth up in the youth room, so continue to pray for us. Also, a lot of things going on September the 12th. Awana will be starting back September the 12th at a full regular schedule starting at 5:30 and going on through. So, folks, we're going to plow forward as best we can. I know at times we have no idea what numbers and what COVID are going to do, but we're going to plan to go forward just as we normally would, and we will adjust from there based on the grace and the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We want to be able to go forward as best we can, but we need to be smart too. So we're trying to do all those, and that's a real balancing act for me. But anyway, I'm surrounded by some good folks. So at any rate, let me see us off in a word. Is there anything else I'm missing, announcement wise? Pay attention. Oh, blood drive. I saw, there you go. Got a blood drive coming up on, that's the 7th of September here. Katie needs some help along the way through the day. If you can help out with making sure that people have a little snack and they don't pass out over at the little table, or signing people in, or giving blood, all the above. That's Katie. Wave, Katie. You can see Katie right after we get done here and let her know, and let me make you a promise. She is one of the most organized people that I know and does a great, great job at maintaining our blood drives here. So at any rate, see Katie. That's coming up on the 7th. Is that Tuesday. Okay. It might be next Tuesday, isn't it? I'm just asking all these questions. Next Tuesday? A week. Tuesday week. That's the way we say it in the country. Tuesday week. So this coming Tuesday will be one more week, the 7th. Come on out and join us for that. See Katie if you can help. Let me pray with you. Let's all stand. I know you've had a chance to sit down. We'll stretch you out here and get you on to them restaurants. Be kind and tip your server and tip them well. You're representing Jesus, okay? Let's pray. Father, we come to you now and just pray that you will help us with our attitude. Lord, this is something that needs to be checked not only daily but multiple times a day as we go forward. Help us, Lord, to always magnify you, that what we profess in the ways that we act and the things that we do would truly model Jesus within our heart and within our life. Help us, Lord, to have a good attitude that will change people's life for the cause of Christ. Help us, Father, as we go forward to be a part of the solution to what you have in store for us as we go forward as a church. Lord, protect us all. Father, for those that are suffering from COVID, we pray, Lord, that your healing hand would be upon them right now. Lord, for our situation, the situation in Afghanistan, the situation in our country, we lift it up to you, and we ask for divine intervention all the way around. Father, we can't say that we have the answers, but we know the one who does. So we're calling upon you in a way, Father, that only we can. We're crying out to you, Father, to intervene and help your will to be known in each and every cause and circumstance. Give us a great day as we go away from here. Help us to be a ray of sunshine in somebody else's life as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. See you tonight.